Wonderful name of Jesus Christ. My name is Kevin Porter, and I'd like to welcome you to this class on exercising spiritual authority. This is going to be a wonderful time in God's Word as we pursue the power of God that we have in Christ Jesus, that we can walk in as sons and daughters of God. We are anointed with Holy Spirit power. The Holy Spirit dwells within each one who has accepted Jesus as their Lord, and that power is available to be used in every situation in life. God wants His people to be victorious. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that the Lord leads us in triumph, that He always causes us to triumph in Christ. We have so much available to us as sons of God. And this class on exercising spiritual authority is designed to open that power of God in your life, to make you victorious, to enable you to walk with the power of God and to fulfill your spiritual destiny. In your Bible, if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 1, you'll see a wonderful section of the Word of God. It says in verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Jesus has made his people to be priests and kings unto God. And we have both a priestly function and a kingly function in this world. Our priestly function is to offer worship before the throne of God, to worship God. We were created to be worshipers of God. But we also have a responsibility of being kings in this world, to reign as kings in life. And that authority, that power that we walk in, is what we're talking about in this class on exercising spiritual authority. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And we're reading from the King James Version of the Bible. In Romans chapter 5, and in verse 17 it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one, Jesus Christ." You and I, as sons of God, are to reign in life. We are to reign as kings in life, because this is what we have been made to be. We have been made to be priests and kings unto our God. Now, this class will not be dealing so much with the worship aspect of our priestly ministry, but this class will be dealing with our authority and exercising, using our authority as kings in this world. We are to operate reign under Him, for He is the King of Kings. We are kings under the King of Kings, and we are His emissaries, we are His ambassadors, we are His representatives in the world to make His power and His authority and His kingdom manifest. In Matthew chapter 9, turn to Matthew chapter 9, and in verse 8 it says, "But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." The word power is the word authority. God has given authority unto men. He has given authority for you and I to walk in. What good would it be to be a king if you didn't have kingly authority? Well, we have authority in this world. We have authority to walk in. We have power that we can walk in as sons and daughters of the Most High God. As men and women who have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have authority in this world. We are no longer a part of this world. We may be in this world, but the world has no more claim on us. It has no more power or authority over us, because we have been delivered out of this world by the work of Jesus Christ. He dwells within us, and He has empowered us. He has made us to be priests and kings unto God our Father. And you and I are to walk in this power and authority. This calling is not just to be fulfilled in heaven. This calling is to be fulfilled on earth, here today. In this day and time and hour, you and I can walk as priests and kings unto our God. And it doesn't matter where you live. This class I'm making specifically, this class is specifically called Exercising Spiritual Authority in Africa. But it doesn't matter if you live in Africa. It doesn't matter if you live in Asia. It doesn't matter if you live in the United States. It doesn't matter if you live on an island in the Pacific Ocean. You, if you have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you know that you belong to Him, then He has made you to be a priest, and He has made you to be a king. And He has given you authority to walk in that kingly position in this life. Not just in heaven, not just in the future, but right now you and I can walk as priests and kings in this world. And we ought to. That's right. We ought to. If the world is going to be one to Jesus Christ, it's going to be one by men and women who understand their priestly and their kingly authority. It's by men and women who walk with the power of God in light of the destiny that God has called them to. As I think about Africa and I think about the fact that perhaps 80 to 90% of the peoples of Africa have not been saved for the Lord Jesus Christ, I realize that there is an awesome task before us. But it says in Acts chapter 19, when Paul taught about the power of the Holy Spirit, it says within 2 years and 3 months, he taught from the city of Ephesus, within 2 years and 3 months, the whole area of Asia Minor heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do the same thing in our churches today. We can do the same thing in our countries today. We can reach all of Africa with the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ if we learn to walk in our kingly authority, if we learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us, if we learn to walk like Paul walked and like those Ephesians believers walked in Acts chapter 19, we can reach all of the then known world. We can reach all of our country. We can reach all the peoples of Africa. And even we can reach all the peoples of the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no demon that is greater than Christ who dwells within you. There is no government that is more powerful than the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no government more powerful than the heavenly government of the kingdom of God. And that's what we are to represent. We are kings under the King of Kings, and we need to walk in that kingly authority. And we need to not only speak the words of Jesus Christ, but we need to do the works. And that's what we've been commissioned and called to do. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 16 it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This class is designed to teach you how to walk in the good works of the Holy Spirit. This is not necessarily a class on preaching. This is a class on demonstrating the power of God. So many of you are already very adept preachers. Now you need to learn how to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit so that that demonstration can validate and give authority to the words that you speak. You see, Jesus not only preached the word, but He also did the works. And you and I are to do the works that He did. There's only one ministry in the world today. There's only one ministry in the world today, and that is the ministry of Christianity, with Christ as the head of the body. Each of us are members of the body of Christ. And you may call yourself by a certain denomination, or you might call yourself by a certain ministry. But the only true ministry that exists is the ministry of the body of Christ, the ministry of Jesus being the head of His body and directing His body in moving the gospel of the kingdom of God all over the world. That's the ministry that I belong to. I happen to call our ministry Lightbearers Ministry simply to give the governments a name. But in my heart of hearts, I know that I'm a member of the body of Christ. And Jesus is my head, and He gives me authority to act in His stead. He has called me to be His representative. And I am not only to speak His words, but I am to do His works, the Word of God says. In Acts chapter 1, and I trust you have your notebook in front of you right now where you're able to follow along, where we've given you each of these verses already written out for you. But if you're following along in your Bible, that's just as well. But it's good to have the notebook because it's got all the notes in it, and it's got every verse that we've used in this class already set down for you just to make it easy for you. I love you, and I want you to get the most out of this class, and I want your life to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ so that God our Father is glorified. Praise the Lord. I don't care if you magnify me, or I don't really seek any magnification or any glory at all. I seek only the glory of my Father God. And I seek that as you learn this Word of God that we're in this class, and as you begin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, just let God be glorified in your ministry. Don't magnify men. Let God be glorified in your ministry. And many people will come to the Lord Jesus Christ because of your words and because of the power that you walk in as a demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Jesus not only taught, but He did the works. He not only taught the gospel of God, but He did the works that demonstrated and validated the truth of what He was saying. You and I, as preachers of the gospel, not only need to teach the word, but we need to do the works that Jesus did, just like He said we could. And we'll see that here in God's word. John chapter 21. Just turn a page over in your Bible if you got your Bible open. In John 21, verse 25, it says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books that should be written." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We are to do works, praise God, and we can do those works. Because we're to be imitators of Jesus Christ. Not only did He teach the Word, but He did the works. See? And that's what this class is all about. It's doing the Word of God with the works of God being manifest in our lives. And I am so thankful that you are here sitting through this teaching session. And I pray, God, that you will sit through all of these tapes, that you will diligently study this material, and that it will be the greatest possible blessing to your life and ministry. Glory to God. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 15, the Word of God says, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You and I, as students of the will of God, as students of the Bible, we are to study and to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, how do you know when you've done it? How do you know when you have taught the word of God accurately? How do you know that when you've studied and rightly divided the word, how do you know that you've got it right and that it's really the word of God that you're teaching? Well, God will back His word with signs and wonders following. He won't back man's opinion, and He won't back man's philosophy, but He will back His word. He will distinguish that word. He will set it apart by giving signs, miracles, and wonders that confirm that word, thus showing that He is giving His approval to what has been taught and what has been done. In Acts chapter 2, and in verse 22, it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God." Remember it said in 2 Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Jesus studied, and then He spoke, and then He taught the word of God. It says here, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. You see, Jesus taught the Word, and then as he was led by the Holy Spirit, he did the works. And the signs, miracles, and wonders that followed his life and followed his ministry were the proof that he had been approved of his Father God. It's the same truth in your life. If you're not seeing signs, miracles, and wonders, I would question very seriously if you're teaching the Word of God accurately. But if you're teaching the Word of God accurately and you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, then signs, miracles, and wonders will absolutely follow your ministry. And they've done it for the last 2,000 years. Wherever a man or a woman has spoken the Word of God accurately and been led by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's always been signs, miracles, and wonders. You know what a sign does? A sign points you to the way. A sign points you to the way, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need signs. In fact, I'll never forget my first trip to... Actually, it was the second trip to Nairobi, where I had nobody meeting me at the airport. I had to rent a car and drive into the city of Nairobi and find my way by directions to the woman's house that I was to be meeting at when I first got into Nairobi. And I'll tell you, I definitely looked for signs. Because here I was, I'd flown halfway around the world from my home in California. I'd been on the plane for almost 2 days. I got into the Nairobi airport. I rented a car, and I was supposed to find my way into the city of Nairobi and to find this person's house where I was to be visiting at. And I definitely followed signs. And I followed signs all the way out of that airport. And I managed to make it there without getting lost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But signs in our ministry point people to the way, who is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. As signs follow your ministry, they will point not to you, but to Him. See? What are miracles? Miracles are workings of God's power. They are workings of God's power. You and I need miracles. We need miracles every day to overcome the circumstances that we're in, to be more than conquerors. And you know what a wonder is? A wonder is a manifestation of God's power that causes people to wonder and causes people to question and to believe that the Word of God is true. It grabs people's attention. It causes people to say, yes, Christianity is true. When people see a genuine wonder done by the Spirit of God, it causes their lives to stand back and say, yes, the Bible is true. Yes, Jesus Christ is alive. Yes, He is Lord of heaven and earth. Don't we need to see that in our lives and ministries? Boy, I tell you that we do. I remember one time I was teaching in a little village in the interior of Kenya, a place called Kampi Yasamaki. And I remember I was teaching at the church there. It was a Free Pentecostal church run by my brother Ernest Wanyama. And it was a Friday night. And I saw this little woman come into the church, into the back of the church, and she was on crutches. She was just a tiny little thing, and she was wrapped in a red dress. And I saw her sit in the back of the church, and she just dragged herself into church. And she hadn't been to the meetings before this, and she kind of stood out to me, and the Holy Spirit just kind of spoke into my heart and said, you have an appointment with that woman. And for the next 3 hours, we asked for people to come up who wanted to be prayed for, and this little woman came up, and she came up on her crutches, and she was just behind her. She would reach out with her crutches, and then she'd drag her feet up behind her, and she was just a pitiful sight. But I knew that I was to pray for her. I knew that I was to minister to her in the name of Jesus Christ. And I went up to her and I laid my hands on her. And I just waited for the Holy Spirit to begin to work. Other people were ministry, other ministers were praying for people, and different things were happening. And I just laid hands on this woman, and I began to pray for her. And as I prayed for her, the Lord just showed me a picture of her spine and of her back. I just saw it very clearly in my spirit. And I spoke in the name of Jesus Christ, and I commanded that back to be healed. I commanded that spine to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I had a man translating for me. And when I got done praying, I looked at her and she was crying. And I said to the translator, I said, "Is there something wrong? Is there something the matter in your hands?" And those tiny little hands and my big hands, I took her by the hands and I looked her in the eye and I said, "Are you ready to walk?" And she said, "Yes." You know, through the translator. And I took her and I took a step back, and she started to take a step forward. And I held her hands, and I took another step back, and she took another step forward. And after that second step, she just let go of my hands and started walking up and down. And the whole crowd just parted, and everybody went, "Oh, oh," because they knew this woman had been healed and delivered. And she walked up and she walked from one end of the church to the other, and she walked back again, and she walked back again, and she walked back again, and she left her crutches and went off that night glorifying and praising God. And the whole place, the whole group of maybe 100 or 150 people that were in that little church, they were astonished at the power of God. They knew that the Word of God was true because they saw the wonder that caused them to help to believe in that night. And I had ministers come up to me after that session and say, tell me that they had been praying for years to see that kind of power in their life. Ladies and gentlemen, that kind of power ought to be a part of the daily life of the church. It ought to be a part of the daily life of the church, because we are kings and we are priests unto the Most High God, and we are to reign in life as ones who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we have been commissioned to do the words and to do the works of Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 18. It says, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." You and I have the ministry of reconciliation. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath given unto us the word of reconciliation." He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has given us the ministry and the word of reconciling people back to him. And if people are going to get reconciled, it's going to be through your ministry and mine. Not only speaking the words, but doing the works of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1. Isn't this wonderful word of God? Amen. I tell you, I know it is. Hallelujah. I can see the smile on your face as you're sitting there. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 12, "As many as received him, to them gave he power." And the word power is the word authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, do you believe on his name? Do you believe on his name? Then you have been given authority to become the Son of God. That's right. You have authority in this world because you believe on him. Hallelujah. And he has given you this authority. He has made you to be a king. He has made you to be a priest. You know, I don't care what your cultural background is. I know in certain cultures they've been taught that you need to be suppressed, you need to be held down, especially if you're a woman. Well, women have the same calling to be sons of God. They have the same right to reign in life as any man does. And I'll tell you, some of the greatest Christians of all history have been women, praise the Lord. And we need for our women to rise up and to believe God and to walk in their spiritual authority just as the men do. See? This idea that men are greater than women or women are inferior to men is a lie from hell. And it's got to be repudiated, and we've got to walk in that truth of the equality of the sexes. We've got to walk in that truth of the equality of everyone being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and being given authority to walk as sons of God. Bless the Lord. Look at John chapter 14. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Look at the truth of that word of God in verse 12. It says, he that believeth on me. Well, do you believe on him? Do you believe on him? Do you believe on him? Then you qualify to do the works that Jesus did. The only qualifier in that verse is whether you believe on him or not. The only thing that qualifies you is that you believe on him. It doesn't say you have to graduate from a Bible seminary. It doesn't say you have to be ordained. It doesn't say you have to be a man. It doesn't say you have to be a woman. It doesn't say you even have to be a grown-up. You can be a six-year-old child filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and do signs, miracles, and wonders. Because the greatness is not in you, in your physical self. The greatness is in the Holy Spirit who dwells amongst his people. Praise the Lord. And that's where the power comes from to do the works that Jesus did. And you can do it. Hallelujah. And I would say to you, you need to do it. And I would say to you at this time in your life, if you don't do it, we won't see the great blessing that needs to occur in our lives and in this day and time. If God's people don't wake up and rise up and assert their spiritual authority, we will see the wave of evil sweep across the world that's like nothing we've seen before. And that's right. Because the Word of God says that the days are getting more and more evil. The Word of God says as we approach the return of Christ, the days are getting worse and worse and worse. And that means that we've got to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. That's right. Because of the evil that is arrayed against us, we've got to rise up. We've got to believe what the Word of God says. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That's the authority that we have. That's the power we can walk in. You see, we're not only to do the Word, but we're also to do the works. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 16 it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You see, for years we've ignored the truth that we're to do the works as well as doing the Word. We have preached the Word, we've taught the Word, we've prayed the Word, but we haven't done the works that validate and prove the greatness of God's Word. We need to not only speak the words, but we need to do the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you started your Christian life with an assumption? You assumed that the Bible was true. Now, maybe you assumed that because, you know, somebody who you really trusted told you that it was. Or you read it in a beautifully bound book, like many of our Bibles are. Or maybe you heard it in a very impressive building, like a great big cathedral or a church. And you assumed that because of what people were saying, and I'm sure they were very sincere when they said it, and praise God that they were, you assumed that what they were saying was true. I assumed, when I heard the Word of God, I assumed that it was true. Now, what verified, what proved that Word of God to be true? What proved that Word of God to be true in your life? Well, I know what it was in my life. It was seeing the Word of God work. It was seeing the power of God work.
It was seeing answers to prayer. It was seeing the truth of the power of God in spiritual manifestation, proving the greatness of God's Word. You see, when I heard the Word, God backed up His Word with signs, miracles, and wonders, which proved the validity of His Word. I remember the night I was filled with the Holy Spirit was December 6, 1971. And I spoke in tongues that night. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And a short time later, I was working at a job in a small restaurant in my home in California, in Alameda, California. And I was washing dishes. I was a young man. I was 16 years old at the time. And I was doing this new thing that I had just learned to do called speaking in tongues. And I remember the night distinctly. It was about 6:30 in the evening when it just struck my mind where the Holy Spirit just moved in me and taught me that what I was doing was the same thing that Peter did. That what I was doing was the same thing that Paul did. That what I was doing as I spoke in tongues was the same thing that they were doing in Acts chapter 2 and all the way through the book of Acts. I recognized that the Bible was true because I saw the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now, people in other religions go through their whole lives never having a valid spiritual manifestation to prove that their scriptures are true. People who are Buddhists, they don't have any power and manifestation to any great degree at all. People who follow the Quran, there's no life, there's no power in manifestation by following the Quran. But when you believe what the Bible says, when you believe what the Word of God says, when you hear the Word of God, God will always back His Word with signs, miracles, and wonders. Speaking in tongues is a miracle. Getting healed is a miracle. Getting answers to prayer are miracles. And these are all miracles that prove the validity of the Bible. They prove that the Bible is true. Now think about this as a preacher. You want people to believe the Word of God that you're teaching. Well, what you have to do is not only teach the Word, but you have to do the works that prove that the Bible is true. The great T.L. Osborne learned this. Early in his ministry, he went to India, and he tried to just preach the Word. And the Hindus said, why should we listen to what your Bible says? We have our scriptures. We have the Veda. We have our scriptures. And they are just as beautifully bound in books as your Bible is in your book. Why should we believe your word rather than the word of our ancestors, the word of our prophets? And T.L. Osborne had no comeback for that. He had no way to prove to them that the Bible was true. Well, T.L. Osborne went back home to Oregon in the United States, and he learned about the power of the Holy Spirit, and he learned about doing miracles and walking in the power of God, doing the works that Jesus Christ did. And he went back to India. And he proved the Word of God to be true by the miracles that followed his ministry. In fact, he went to Africa. And he went all over Africa. He went all over Europe. He went all over South America. He preached the Word to over 100 million people in his life and in his ministry. And millions were won to the Lord Jesus Christ because not only did He speak the Word, but He did the works that Jesus had commissioned Him to do, according to John 14:12. You see, as a preacher, what validates your ministry is the power of God that you can walk in. Hallelujah. You see, we need to not only speak the words, but we need to do the works that prove that the Word of God is true. We need a balance between words and works in our ministry. You see, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you enjoying this? I hope so. Praise the Lord. Maybe your life has lacked power. Well, in this class, I'm going to teach you how to walk in the power of God as I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. There is hope for your life. There's hope for your ministry. You can be delivered. You don't have to keep living the same way you've lived. But maybe you've seen some of the power of God. Maybe you want to increase the power of God in your life. Well, this class will help you as well. Praise the Lord. Maybe it'll fill in a few details that you haven't understood about the power of the Holy Spirit. And it'll just be a wonderful blessing to your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." If we're going to move the kingdom of God all over the continent of Africa, it's going to take the power of God to accomplish it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we're going to do that. Glory to God. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. I know that there are Christians who have repudiated the power of God. Well, they need to rise up and believe what the Word of God says. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Well, are you healing the sick? Are you cleansing the lepers? Are you raising the dead? Are you walking on water? Are you doing signs, miracles, and wonders? Then I question whether you really believe in him. Because the Word of God says, brother, "He that believeth on me, these things will follow." And ladies and gentlemen, we need to rise up and believe what the Word of God says, not our traditions. Hallelujah. I know that there's many Christian traditions, and many of our traditions deny the Word of God. Well, we have to make up our minds. Do I believe what the tradition tells me, or do I believe what the Word of God tells me? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly where we err today. We don't know the Scriptures, and we don't know the power of God. So that's why we're in this class. Hallelujah. To learn these things, to be able to walk with the power of God, to be able to fulfill our ministries and our calling in life. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Bless your heart, I love you. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I hope this Word of God stirs you up. I hope it challenges you. That's right. Because we've got a tremendous challenge. If we're going to reach all of the continent of Africa, if you're going to reach your city for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to take more than just preaching. It's going to take the power of God in your life. If you're going to fulfill your ministry and your calling, and maybe you're not called to be a full-time minister, but each one of us is called to walk with the power of God. Each one of us is called to win our friends and our neighbors to the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us is called to be representatives and to be kings and priests unto our God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." We are given the Word to study, to work, to build into our lives, to preach and to teach. And then the Word of God not only teaches us what doctrine to preach, but it also shows us how to walk with the power of God, so that we can be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. Isn't this good Word of God? Praise the Lord, it sure is. Praise the Lord, it sure is. Look at Acts chapter 10. I tell you, I love you very much. And the many times I've been to Africa and ministered amongst God's people, I have just been thrilled by your hearts of meekness and love and tenderness and desire to learn and desire to grow. And I believe that you're sitting through this class, that you're hearing these tapes by divine destiny, that God has a purpose in your life that He is calling you to fulfill. And this class is one of the means that He is using to equip you to carry out that destiny and to carry out that calling. In Acts chapter 10, In verse 38 it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Now, today, you and I, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been anointed with power because we have believed on Him. We have received authority to be sons of God. We have received authority to do the works that Jesus did. And we can go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. Because we have no enemies other than the devil. The Muslims are not our enemies. The Hindus are not our enemies. The pagan unbelievers are not our enemies. They're simply lost souls that need to be won to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our enemies are demon principalities and powers. Our enemies aren't even governments, because governments are made up of men, and they're not our enemies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against demon principalities. And all that are oppressed of the devil are the ones we are sent to deliver by the power of God, by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. See? Hallelujah. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." And you and I can walk in this kind of power. And you're going to hear me quote that verse time after time in this class. Look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2. In verse 11. "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him." His disciples believed on him because they saw the manifestation of power that Jesus walked in. As he manifested forth his glory, the glory that he had received as the only begotten of the Father, as he manifested forth that glory, then people believed on him. You and I have been filled with Christ in us, the hope of glory. The glory of God dwells within us as the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The glory of God dwells within us. And as we manifest forth that power, people see the glory of God and they glorify God because He had given such power unto men. Boy, amen. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I trust you all are able to follow along in your notebooks that we've given you with this class. In Matthew chapter 4. I'm in Mark. Right church, wrong pew or something. Matthew chapter 4. In verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." He was teaching and he was preaching. "And he was healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease amongst the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria." Do you know why T.L. Osborne had such fantastic crusades in Kenya and many other places of Africa? The reason why he had such fantastic crusades, because they saw the power of God in his life. They saw the power of God in his ministry, and his fame went abroad. His fame went abroad. If you're a minister and you've got a small congregation and your church membership is dwindling, it's because you're not walking in the power of God. You need to learn not only how to preach and teach, but you need to learn how to heal and deliver people. And you know what will happen? Your fame will go abroad. Well, when people come to you, you just bring them to Jesus. That's right. When people come to you, you just bring them to Jesus. See, because you're not the Savior. And you know that. Hallelujah. And so do I. But people come to us because our fame goes abroad, because they see the power of God and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. It says in Thessalonians that they became followers of Paul and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, people will become followers of you. And as they follow you, you just bring them to Jesus. You see how simple that is to win people? Glory to God. Just walk in this kind of power. That's what Philip did in Acts chapter 8. That's what Philip did. Acts chapter 8. Turn there, please. Right after the persecution began, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says in verse 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Why did they listen to Philip's ministry? Because they saw the power of God that Philip was walking in. They saw the signs, miracles, and wonders. They saw the deliverances happening. You see, when a miracle is God's greatest advertising. That's right. Miracles are God's great advertising of His power and of His ability to deliver. When you and I are doing miracles by the power of God, it just draws people in to hear the gospel. And that's why the people in Samaria gave heed unto Philip, because they saw and heard the miracles that he was doing by the power of God as he was led by the Holy Spirit. For unclean demons, crying with loud voice. And you know there's a lot of demons out there. But there's no demon in the world that's greater than the Holy Spirit. There's no demon in the world, doesn't matter how big he is or how much authority he's had or how long he's lived in a certain place, he has no power over the Holy Spirit. He is driven out by the power of God. For unclean demons, spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. You see, your ministry needs to be validated by the power of God that you walk in. And God will do this for you as you walk faithfully in His power. He did it for the Apostle Paul. Look at Romans chapter 15. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Isn't this wonderful? Don't we have a great God? Oh, I tell you, we do. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 15. Verse 19 says, "Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. By mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God," Paul was able to fulfill his ministry. It's by the power of God that you and I are able to fulfill our ministries. And we need to walk in that power of God. You know, God will magnify you so that people respond to your ministry as long as you bring people to Him. You see, look at Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. The Lord will magnify you so that you can bring people to Him. Hallelujah. That's right. Verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Joshua," Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." You know what? How God magnified His man Joshua in the sight of all Israel? He caused a wonderful miracle to happen under Joshua's ministry. And that miracle was the stopping of the water on the River Jordan so that Israel could cross the River Jordan on dry ground. God did this miracle to magnify His man so that the people could follow Him and that He could lead them to the Lord. In verse 14 of chapter 4, and it says, "On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life." God will do that for you. If you will rise up and be His ambassador, He will back your ministry with power. He will cause people to respect you, even if they don't believe you, even if they don't follow your ministry. They will respect you because they will see the power of God in your life. And they will even fear you. That's right. especially if they're working for the wrong side, if they're working for the enemy, if they're working for the devil. They will come to fear you because they will see that you are a man or a woman of uncompromising integrity, and a man or a woman who is backed by the power of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You see, hallelujah. And this will solve so many problems in your life and ministry if you learn to walk with this kind of power and allow the Lord to magnify you in your ministry. You see, He'll do it. You just see yourself as being small. And let the Lord do the magnifying. And He will cause that blessing to come into your life and the blessing into the lives of the many people that you're able to touch. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Hallelujah. See, you never have to magnify yourself. The Lord will magnify you by the power of God that you walk in. And people will respect you, and people will even fear you. And people, your fame will go abroad, and you'll be able to bring many to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 16, in verse 15, it says, "Go," He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." You see what's at stake? If people believe, they're going to be saved. If people do not believe, they're going to go to hell for eternity. That is what is at stake. We must reach people. We must do our utmost to reach people and to bring them into salvation, because the consequences of their unbelief will be eternal damnation. That is why it is so critical what we are doing. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Hallelujah. "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." You know, many times when I pray for someone, I simply ask them the question, "Do you believe that God will keep His promise?" And if they can honestly say yes, then I know that they have the faith to receive their healing. Because the Word of God says, Jesus said, and it's here in red in my Bible, "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And if somebody can say, "Yes, I believe that God will keep that promise to me," then I know that they have the faith that's required in order to receive their healing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let me read verses 19 and 20 before I go on to 1 Corinthians. "So that after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." You see, when you preach in His name, He is working with you. When you walk in His name, He is working with you. And when you lay hands on to minister healing, He is laying His hands on as well. That's where the power comes from, not from you, but from Him. See? "And He will confirm the word with signs following." Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 4 it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I was in a church service in Nairobi, in the slums of Nairobi, at a Redeemed Gospel Church in a place called Korogocho. And I had just spent about 3 hours or so in a meeting, and I had preached for over an hour and a half in that meeting. And it had been very hot. We'd had a wonderful crowd, and then we prayed for people afterwards. And when we were all done with the meeting, the pastor brought me into his little office in the back of the church. And we were sitting there for a few minutes just resting, and a woman came in, and she was carrying a young man couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years old, had his entire right leg was twisted backwards by polio. And the woman said, "This man, this young man needs your ministry. He needs your help." And so as I looked at that young man, and I remember the promise of God that if I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I laid hands on his knee, and I commanded his knee to straighten out in the name of Jesus Christ. And then I laid hands on his ankle. And his ankle had been completely twisted around where the foot was facing backwards. And by the power of God, I just took that whole ankle and I completely turned it around to face normally. And then finally his foot was misshapen, and I took that foot by the power of God and I commanded it to straighten out, and it straightened out and formed just the way God intended it to be formed. And that little boy, who just 2 or 3 minutes before had been a terrible paralyzed victim of polio, that little boy was set free by the power of God. We had him do some deep knee bending and some exercises, and we sent him running home to his mother. That is a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a doing the works that Jesus Christ did. That is the kind of works and the kind of power you can walk in, because you have been given authority. Because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been given authority to become a son of God.